You will have those. We'll leap into the Word in a moment. God is good. Yesterday there were about 25 or so of the ladies of the church that showed up at the house to hang out with Lucy. And I slipped out and went into town. I had someone coming to look at a Cushman I have for sale. And if you know what a Cushman is, you're over 40. And after preparing the message and getting ready, I pulled up at the house, and apparently my wife had decided there wasn't enough seating room in our living room. And there was Bill and Renee and Lou carrying a new love seat into the living room. And being a good husband, I have learned not to ask how much did it cost and did we really need it. I just, it's okay, baby, if that's what you think.
Good things happen when
you determine that your wife is right. And your life will be a lot more peaceable. If you're wondering what's going on, I banged my hand as I was getting up, and this is called stopping the bleeding. I'm not a suffering Lord, I'm just bleeding. You've got the notes for today's message, and I pray that your heart is ready. So look at someone you didn't come with and say, this one's for you. I don't know how often you've gone to church and had to wait for someone to put a Band-Aid on, but I'll try and make it worth it. God is doing so many things in our land. And I've told you that what you see in the natural has a parallel in the spirit. What you see in the natural has a parallel in the spirit. And if you're going to take advantage of all the blessings and promises of God that He has for you, then you're going to have to determine, very much along the lines of the song Brother Bill led you in, the Word of God is final authority in my life. It doesn't matter what I see or feel, the Word is working mightily in me. Amen. And some days that's a fight to make that stand. But once you get that fight established, you begin winning victories. Whatever God's Word said about you is true, whether you ever accept it or not. You are not the determining factor. The Word is. And when I have people tell me, well, I tried that, you don't try God. You don't try the Word. You submit to it or you lose. As I begin to spend time in prayer about today's message before I enter into the Word, asking Daddy God what He had for me, the first line of your notes is prophetic. The Lord said 2017 is a year of seeming new beginnings. I wrote it down, 2017 is a year of new beginnings, and God said, no. 2017 will be a year of seeming new beginnings, but they're not. And then he began to explain to me, because some of y'all know I'm a little thick-headed at times and I have to be sure that I'm hearing right. And he said, tell the people the crops of seeds long time planted are springing forth. So it's not a new thing. It's a thing that's been germinating for months, and for many of you, years. You've had that seed that you planted laid hold of and believed. Pastor, what does that mean? You are the ground, your belly. And you take a promise of God, a word of God, a prophecy, and you feed it into your belly, and you meditate it, and you praise God for it, and you think about it, and those seeds spring forth. People who try the Word of God, Napoleon, they give it a couple hours, a couple of days. Friday, they may go, well, I can stand for a month, and if it doesn't, I'll take another alternative action. You've got to determine that God is your source. In 2008 in the hospital, when I came out of paralysis and learned to talk again and learned to walk again, I began to decree, I have a new heart. Because God said I would live and not die. Amen. It didn't matter. The doctor said there wasn't a chance I could live. I didn't need a chance. I needed a promise. Are you listening? I didn't need a chance. I needed a promise. And I laid hold of that promise of God. And it has been since 08. And my new heart in the natural hasn't manifest, but I still have it. It's mine. And you can wake me up in the middle of the night and ask me what's going on. I'll say, I am the healed of the Lord. He has given me a new heart, and my life is fulfilled in perfect health. Well, Pastor, why are you carrying that pump around with you? Because my heart doesn't know it's healed yet, but my spirit knows it is. Amen. And you've got to become that determined. Well, I got excited when the Lord said, seeds long time planted are springing forth. And I began to think about the many promises I'd laid hold of through the years, things I'd believed God for, things I'd asked God about. The crops of long time planted seeds will spring forth in 2017. You might have to, Sister Gail, break out your prayer journal and go back and look at the things you wrote down that God said, but tell them, you're happening now. In fact, all of y'all are happening now people if you've laid hold of a promise of God. He said, new harvests from seeds dormant. He said they've laid there for weeks, months, years. But not every seed works the same way. A man plants a seed in his wife, and in 9 months they have a baby. An elephant plants a seed in his mate, and 3 years later they have a baby. Now, ladies, can you imagine being pregnant for 3 years? But then, of course, there's a little difference in the size of the delivery. Something Creflo Dollar said some time ago, delay does not mean denial. Delay does not mean denial. Sometimes there's a reason your crop has been delayed. Because God is building a better platform to display it. But Isaiah 43:19 says, behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the desert and river, a roadway in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. You're going to begin hearing people say, God's doing a new thing in my life. Smile knowingly. He's not doing a new thing. The seed that they have laid hold of, the promises of God that they have refused to turn loose of, are breaking forth. The ground you are will determine the crop or harvest you can produce. A seed planted in Derrick will lead to a different harvest than a seed planted in Demetrius, because it depends on what you are watering that seed with. Are you watering it with praise? Are you watering it with expectancy? Are you pregnant with that word, just waiting for God to give you the delivery sign? The Bible says a good man out of his good treasure brings forth good things. But an evil man out of that which he treasures brings forth evil things. What are you paying attention to? What are you feeding upon? What is the driving force of your life? When a promise of God becomes the driving force of your life, you will possess it. What one is full of or feeding upon will show up when the pressures arise. When people go, "Oops, that slipped out." No, you just was so full of it, it couldn't stay in anymore. If you'll notice on your notes, at the bottom of the page is Matthew 13, 18 through 23. At the top of your second page is the comments we made on each of these verses. Hear then the parable of the sower. A parable is an earthly illustration with a heavenly meaning. It is a parallel truth. A truth that has one meaning in heaven. It's up to us to make sure it has the same meaning in the earth. Because the natural earthly system is contrary to the heavenly system. You have to make it parallel in your life. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom seed was sown beside the road. Does not understand it, ever hearing but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Hearers of the word but not doers. It is not sufficient to read your Bible. You've got to hang on those verses and meditate them until it becomes real to you. As long as your Bible is full of stories, you're full of failure. There are no stories in the Bible. There are illustrations of how to receive from God. Verse 20, the one on whom the seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Rocky ground, hard, not renewed to the word of truth, still bound by the school of hard knocks, yielding and submitting to kingdom truth has not occurred. But you find in your life, Ken, you're witnessing to somebody and they've just gone through hell and still smell of smoke. And you tell them the goodness of the Lord and they get happy. They get excited. But they don't get into it. How you hear the word determines what the word can do for you. If you hear the word as, "Wouldn't it be wonderful? When you dream up on a star, makes no difference where you are." That's not God's word. You're not dreaming. You're not hoping. You're laying hold of it as your new level of truth. The doctors tell me there's nothing they can do for me. You know you're in trouble when the doctor says, we can make you comfortable. No, you can't. I haven't been comfortable in 8 years. But the pain that tries to rack your body, the shortness of breath that prevents you from walking to the car, all of those things have to drop in the background, and you've got to lift up, with his stripes I was healed. He sent his word and healed me and delivered me from all my destructions. His word is working mightily in me. I may not can see it this moment, but with these eyes I will see the deliverance of the Lord. Why? If I don't quit, I win. And I have won too many victories in God to give up now. Rocky ground gets excited about good news, but excitement doesn't heal your ills. And you fall away from it very quickly because you hear it, and you want to just add water and have a finished product, but it doesn't work that way. You got to water it and water it and water it, and having done all to stand and see the hand of the Lord. There is no answer to the question, well, how long do I have to stand? Some people stand 30 minutes and get an answer. Some people stand 30 weeks and get an answer. Some people stand 30 months waiting on their answer. How long it takes doesn't matter, because the longer the germination period, the greater the crop when it comes. Yet he has no root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. Because of the word. Get this through your head. The moment you determine to believe God, you have declared war on hell. And the devil is going to do everything he can to throw roadblocks in your path to get you to turn loose of God said. Adam did us all a disservice. He taught the devil that the devil can dissuade us from God's truth with the right argument. The moment Adam turned loose of God said and embraced Satan said, man was doomed. Needed a deliverer. Needed someone to reestablish the truth of God's word in the earth. So God sent his word, walking and talking, so you could see how it works. Rocky ground cannot handle the word of God, because the word of God needs deep roots to withstand the winds of adversity. And understand this, once you lay hold of a promise of God, the winds of adversity will come to see if you will turn loose of God said. Don't follow Adam's example and turn loose of God said. There is no other said that you can lean on. And the one on whom the seed was sown among the thorns, and this is the most frequently notice type of ground in today's society, because everybody is encumbered with cares, bills, health. What are we going to do? How are we going to make it? How will we live? All of those are questions answered in your new covenant. My God shall supply all of my need. Therefore, to hell with the rest of it. That's where it came from. It can go back there. I don't need the confusion of thoughts day and night about what am I going to do? How am I going to do it? When will it happen? I've got a promise. If I won't turn loose that promise, hell will turn loose of me. And the one on whom the seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Do you know what the deceitfulness of wealth is? The deceitfulness of wealth is this: money will fix it. Money won't fix it. As a believer, at one point or another, you've got to make a choice. Mammon, wealth, is the god of this world system. It is the voice of this world system. Faith is the voice of the God system. You have got to learn that my faith in God will get it taken care of. Because I've found that there isn't enough money to supply all of your needs. Because sooner or later, you reach the extent of what that money can do. You will never reach the extent of what faith can do. And the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Good soil, good ground, hears, understands, and bears the fruit of the seed the word is promised. Pastor, what does that mean? It means I hold on to that promise and celebrate it until it's fully manifest. Just as you see changes occurring in the natural realm in our nation and society, they're ready to burst forth in the spiritual realm. Many harvests from many past acts will begin occurring in your life this year. What many see as new things, new beginnings, is but the crop of past acts of faith now coming to full growth. Ephesians says, having done all to stand, then just stand there. Weather the storm, weather the winds of adversity, weather the pressures, and just stand. And you can become so strong that Satan himself is afraid every time you wake up. In due season you will reap if you do not faint, turn loose, give up, cave in. That phrase, in due season, carries the meaning of your own individual private time of harvest. 2017 is due season. The rest of your life will be the best of your life. Stand firm and get ready to reap. I don't know about you, but when God gives a word, I get excited about it. And yes, sometimes I have to put on blinders so I don't see what's going on around me. When I was a young man, and I was once, the ice truck would come down the road. And there would be a man with a leather apron on and a leather piece that he threw on his shoulder. And he would pull up in front of your house and he would grab a pair of tongs and he would get a block of ice and come and stick it in your ice box. That's been a day or two. Many of you have no idea what an ice box is. A refrigerator is not an ice box. An ice box was an insulated cabinet that you put a block of ice in to keep your food semi-cool. But the horse that drew that ice truck was responsible for many things that we've come to know. In Texas, we have a law that occurred because of the ice horse. If you have an accident, the insurance company owes you, by Texas law, not just to get your car fixed. They owe you, if the accident was not your fault, they owe you a diminished value return. I bought a new Buick Enclave. And a few weeks after I got it, I was rear-ended. And the insurance company said, "Don't worry about it. We'll fix everything." I said, "Travelers, that's nice, but I want my reimbursement for the diminished value." He said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "You know Texas law. They rear-ended me. If there were two Buicks sitting on a car lot, one that had been wrecked and one that hadn't been wrecked, the one that hadn't been wrecked would be worth at least $1,000 more than the one that had been wrecked. I want $1,000. They made the mistake of arguing with me and ended up giving me $1,600. There's a law that's on the books because of that ice horse. Pastor, how did that work out? Well, if you hit a horse with your car, it might have been worth $300. But if that horse had been trained to do the ice route and knew which houses to stop at, that horse was worth twice as much. So you had to pay for the diminished value, not just the value of a horse. But also another lesson I learned from the horses, they all had little blinders on their harness. And it was so they couldn't see anything but what was in front of them. The horse was trained not to go to the left or the right, but to go to house number 4, house number 7, house number 16. He couldn't see to the right or the left. He couldn't be distracted by oncoming traffic or anything. All he could see was what was straight ahead. I encourage you to put on your spiritual blinders. Where I can't see what the devil's saying over here, I can't see what my body or my circumstances are saying over here. All I can see is, it is written. Yeah. And if my focus is trained on God said, go back and renew the promises. Derek and Diane shared with you not long ago that after a message of similar impart, they went back and laid hold of something that had been lost to them, had it restored to them. Now their life is enriched by it. Judith shared with you how after the sermon, she went and found out that her family had land that should have been paying them money for oil leases and wasn't, and now her family, her son and her grandkids will be blessed by the royalties from what was hers all the time. She just wasn't getting it. Now some of you were getting ready to leave because you thought I was wrapping up. Oh, foolish observers. She laid hold of a promise, something that had been long stolen from her and her family. But she laid hold of that promise of God, and now her grandchildren will benefit from it. Go back and revive every promise God has given you. Not just the ones contained in your new covenant, but the ones he spoke to your heart individually, the ones he confirmed to you, the ones he let you know this is yours too. I've had times in my life that I laid hold of a promise of God, and it took a while to manifest. I know y'all have never had that problem. And I would have to remind myself of having done all to stand. I laid hold of the promise. I believed the promise. I received the promise. Now I just have to stand here on that promise until it rewards me for standing. Tell yourself, 2017 is my year of harvest. Seeds I have long planted and watered and believed for are bursting forth this year. Some of you have an appointment with a new car, a new house, a new job, a new income stream. Some of you have an appointment with a new lease on life. Decree, this is my year. My harvest is coming, and I will not be denied. Amen. Are you getting anything?
Yes.
Now look at the person you told that this message is for you and tell them, well, I'm keeping a little bit of it. Daddy God, we've delivered your word to your people. And we thank you for the encouragement. We thank you for the refreshing that comes as you renew hope within us and you cause our faith to grow stronger. Father, I pastor the wealthiest group of people in the wealthiest church the world has ever seen. Our people walk in divine fullness, talk in divine expectancy, and have a hope that goes beyond the cares of this world. Our people are blessed mentally, spiritually, physically, financially, and the wicked one touches them not. And I praise you that everything that's been arrayed against them is cursed, cast down and broken, because the greater one has come to set the captives free. Thank you, Father. You're loved. You can go with God. There'll be ministers available to stand with you and pray with you in agreement on anything that you're desiring from God. Maybe you just need someone to agree with you as you stand on a promise that you have received from God. God bless you.